Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
David Garrity was kind enough to come in earlier this week and break down some of the results. He's back to kind of round it up for us. He is principal at GVA Research. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Carol.
Glad this week is over.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Can we sum it up? I mean, mixed bag, different companies. They're not apples to apples. But what we got from the tech sector, does it say anything about what is going on in the tech environment overall and maybe what it says about the economy?
Yeah. Bottom line, the fourth quarter numbers that came out from companies were essentially fairly strong. The thing that obviously killed the stocks afterwards, apart from the normal sort of buy the rumor, sell the news cycle, was, you know, some of the indications that were out there. If we go from sort of, you know, in not any specific order, Samsung coming out last night, overnight, essentially making self-serving comments about the high-end smartphone market and developed economies being saturated, which essentially says that, you know, the only growth that's left out there in terms of smartphones is going to be in developing markets, i.e. China, where, oh, by the way,
we do pretty
Samsung
well.
Happens to be, you know, the leading provider of handsets in the fourth quarter.
Investors weren't impressed, were they?
No, they weren't. And obviously, they sold the stock off, maybe in part because of comments about slower growth and greater price competition coming and margin compression coming in the smartphone market, but also the comments that came out of Samsung management in terms of the strength of the Korean won and what impact it was going to have on their financials.
But it's interesting because we focus so much on Apple because they have the higher priced phones and how maybe they weren't so well positioned. And then they're looking to do, you know, cheaper price points and so on and so forth. Or, you know, do payment plans potentially in emerging markets. But it's interesting because Samsung may be not immune as well from this trend in terms of the developed markets being very saturated.
Very much so, which sort of highlights another piece of news that came out, not necessarily earnings related, but it was broken by Bloomberg yesterday, which is coming out of Davos, which had to do with the discussion with Lenovo's CEO essentially indicating that now that Lenovo is number two in terms of smartphones in China, obviously they're interested in trying to buttress their position greater on a global basis, and so that they speculate that there might be some interest in research in motion.
Should there be interested? What do you make of RIM?
Research in Motion certainly has a wonderful installed base with respect to enterprise customers, a very secure solution. However, if you look at the comments that Research in Motion management have made earlier, which had been supporting the stock, which was that they were, you know, continuing to look actively at strategic alternatives for the company, which might involve the sale of their handset manufacturing business.
Right.
You know, that business arguably could be acquired by Lenovo without too much difficulty. But when it comes to actually looking at secure systems that governments as well as enterprises rely upon to securely operate, putting this in the hands of a Chinese company, arguably controlled by the Chinese government, and we know how the Chinese look upon the internet and individual privacy within that, the chances of a deal being done on that basis alone...
Not likely.
Not likely. And also the Canadian government, you know, to their credit, they tend to like their own homegrown champions as well. So it wouldn't be the first time that the Canadian government would stamp on a foreign acquirer coming in and try to acquire a Canadian asset.
A la the U.S. in terms of doing similar things with some of the U.S. homegrown companies.
That's true, although the Canadians, you might say, have been more recent and more aggressive in terms of keeping people away from things like Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan
true.
And so on.
David, let me ask you, though, the move up that we've seen in RIM since around the end of October, early November, is it because they're a potential takeover target, or what is it? I mean, should we be enthused about the bounce back?
Under the heading of sort of, you know, beaten down cell phone companies rallying into a new product introduction, probably the BlackBerry 10 introduction that Research in Motion will have here in New York next week on Wednesday, January 30th, probably takes the cake. It's a paradigmatic kind of rally on the rumor
because
the stock has gone from being $6 up to, you know, close to 18,
right.
A triple in, you know, less than 6 months. But all the indications...
That's a lot of enthusiasm.
It certainly is a great deal of enthusiasm, and it's something that, you know, granted there are the indications out there that all the historical wireless service provider partners that Research in Motion has had historically are out testing BlackBerry 10, and this has been very helpful. However, the fact still remains, at the end of the day, they're going to have to go out there and sell devices into a market which on the retail side and on the consumer side is now, and on the enterprise side, is more characterized by bring your own device to business and we'll integrate it into our IT infrastructure, whereas in the past it had been, okay, fine, you have to buy what is the mandated solution, which more often than not in smartphones had been Research in Motion. Not so anymore.
What do you think happens to RIM ultimately?
Research in Motion, arguably, I think they do lose the manufacturing assets. They really don't need them. The remaining parts of the business, enterprise services as well as software, that's tempting. I think the story also, again, going back to what Bloomberg had said yesterday, IBM interested in looking at Research in Motion around this area relative to and this was speculated back in August of 2012. Certainly, this would be something that might fit very well in terms of IBM's overall thoughts about trying to have more dominance in terms of cloud computing and having a very successful operating system in this area could be of interest.
And it works as they kind of reshape themselves.
Precisely. So I think at the end of the day, Research Motion ends up not being a freestanding company, but I don't think any one company goes out there and acquires all the parts of the business. Talking further with respect to fallen smartphone or cell phone manufacturers enjoying a bit of a renaissance, Nokia, obviously a stock that had gone from being roughly $2 a share up to as high as $4.50 before they came out yesterday and said, oops, the dividend we've had for 134 years.
Forever.
Guess what? We're not covering it, so it goes away. But the fact remains is that even though Nokia is out there as one of the partners for Microsoft in their Windows Phone 8 operating system, and yes, they're trying to get very aggressively back into North America, but data point that came out, which is essentially Apple iPhones were outselling Nokia Lumias more than 10 to 1 in the fourth quarter. Nokia. You may be from Finland. You may be dowdy. You may have beaten the Russians back in the 1939-1940 war, but good luck.
Good luck with that.
Precisely.
Hey, David, just one thing I want to ask you, because I had a listener actually messaged me in and said, can you ask David about Dell and the possible buyout? We thought by now we would hear something about Dell being taken private. We know Silver Lake Management, they're said to be talking with. Microsoft is said to be maybe planning an investment. What do you think is going to happen? And when?
Well, certainly we've seen some resistance coming back from institutional holders of the stock. I mean, one name that seems to have mentioned here was Jim Pezina of Pezina Investment Management, essentially indicating that, Dell going out and trying to do a bid for the company under $15 a share would be tantamount to effectively stealing the stock. Now, okay, Pezina owns the stock. He probably owns it at a price point higher than where it was before this was all announced.
So he's not going to like it.
He wouldn't be happy, but to the extent that we sort of take him and generalize from there, we already know that the company had gone out and retained Evercore Partners to essentially find other bids, competing bids. They effectively have gotten the assignment to go and shop Dell to buyers other than management.
And so do we cue crickets at this point?
I think we have to wait and see sort of what comes back during this period of time. So which essentially says this is a transaction where an announcement probably gets extended sometime into February. Here we are the 25th. I could be wrong. And maybe it's a week from today. But guess what? That gets me to February 1st.
Right. So. but it's a good thing for it to be taken private?
Well, there's a lot that, arguably Dell needs to do in terms of making investments in research and development and to come out with new products in that the company has not been a factor in tablet PCs. They've not been a factor in smartphones. Is this really an area where they necessarily need to be? There is a repositioning here, which sometimes is better done by a company out of the public eye, not as a publicly filing company. And maybe this is a good opportunity for do that. However, to the extent that we look at some of the partners, what does the possibility of Microsoft coming in as an investor of $2 to $3 billion really have to say? If investors and more importantly, PC OEM partners of Microsoft had doubts and concerns raised in terms of Microsoft's commitment to the business model that they had followed historically of being just the software vendor, if that got put in question by Surface, the tablet PC that Microsoft came out with in the second half of 2012, the fact that Microsoft decides to pony up to the tune of $2 to $3 billion.
Things get a little bit clearer, don't they?
With a company that only represents about 3% of their sales. I mean, obviously, people in Palo Alto at Hewlett-Packard have to be scratching their heads and wondering, geez, why don't we come out with devices that run off of Android rather than being run off of Microsoft product?
After they say, what?
Yes. So this could be a matter of being perhaps penny wise for Microsoft and pound foolish, because we are already operating in an environment that is clearly post-PC, post-desktop PC. Tablets, smartphones being the dominant growth factors. And, obviously, Google did not introduce Android yesterday, but Google, having introduced Android and now having come out with a range of broader Google applications that mirror and compete with Microsoft, all at no cost or effectively lower cost than Microsoft, you know, OEM vendors that are out there, whether they're Samsung or whether they're Lenovo or whether they're others, have all sort of said, you know, gosh, Microsoft's relevance to us as a company, as a technology partner, diminishes over time. The really the people right now who kind of keep Microsoft in business in the traditional area are corporate information officers, CIOs who have bases of desktops and laptops that they need to keep in operation. And now there's a big push to upgrade everything to touchscreen sensitive, which only Windows 8 can support, which means that Microsoft is still in a position where probably their Windows 8 numbers will continue to be relatively good going through 2013 and maybe into 2014. But on the margin, there are a lot of questionable moves that Microsoft is making, the Dell investment being only one of them.
Now, Microsoft is higher today. I mean, they did report earnings. They reported lower profit and higher revenue. I mean, net-net, the earnings results, they're okay?
Net-net, you know, earnings results better than expected to some extent because of a lower-than-expected tax rate. But, you know, give the company credit for knowing how to manage their financial assets in that respect. You know, so for Microsoft, you know, people on the margin were perhaps disappointed because as we went through the fourth quarter, the indications had come out that PC shipments for the industry-wide were actually down. Granted, the Windows 8 numbers were actually up by double digits because of the product cycle. Mm-hmm. But the question at the end of the day is that if Microsoft really can't prove themselves more effective in terms of tablet PCs and smartphones, where really is the future growth of the company? Now, given its balance sheet, Microsoft as a company is certainly not going away anytime soon.
Right.
But the question now for investors to consider is just how intelligently will the company be putting those funds to work, investing for future growth?
How do you feel, though, David, as someone who follows that company and the tech industry overall, when Microsoft declines to comment on this unit sales for Surface, their tablet offering? I mean, what does that say?
I would step back from Microsoft and step back from tech and just sort of speak more broadly as an analyst, as an investor, which is to say simply any time a company decides to narrow the scope of disclosure, to cease providing information that previously was provided, clearly the indication is very clear. They have something to hide. There are negative things that are taking place under the surface, and that creates uncertainty. And at the end of the day, if Wall Street likes nothing worse than uncertainty. And so you see that happen, you just sell and then come back later.
So not a company you want to own right now.
Well, one where they're on the margin, you know, trends are negative.
So there you have it.
Yes.
Let's go to another name that actually reported, and we talked about Apple a lot before it came out with the results. The company came out, investors were disappointed. Should we have been disappointed?
You know, 48.7 million smartphones wasn't 50 million smartphones, iPhones.
Are our expectations just a little too high here?
Unfortunately, you know, the past success of Apple in terms of outperforming street expectations and their own guidance, it had sort of habituated investors and analysts to expect, you know, massive beats and raises. You know, we're in a situation right now where fine, you know, the revenues were good, but the cadence, the timing, if you will, in terms of all the new product introductions that Apple had made in the second half of the year did have a negative effect on gross margins. And for whatever it's worth, the analyst community out on Wall Street doesn't seem to understand that there is a learning curve with respect to a manufacturing process such that margins can improve. And perhaps incorrectly, analysts are extrapolating that all of a sudden we've seen Apple transition to a business model where margins on a go-forward basis will continue to be less than what they've been historically. And as a result, you know, even though the company has $130 billion in cash, even though the company dominates growth markets of tablet PCs and high-end smartphones, and most likely has all the wherewithal to continue to do that, people just aren't willing to give the company their strengths and the ability of management, granted ex Steve Jobs, credit for what they can do. And so, yes, the question gets raised, is Apple a value stock now, trading at single-digit multiples? I would make the argument that people weren't paying for Apple's growth before. And so, you know, much as you might see in terms of cyclical industries, companies thought to be trading at sort of peak earnings or realizing peak earnings yeah. always get low multiples off that. People never really thought that Apple's peak earnings were sustainable anyway. And so arguably what Apple management has to do here, what Apple's board has to do here, is to intelligently deploy the excess capital they have in such a way that it's thought to be shareholder friendly without necessarily imperiling the future growth prospects for the company.
So what specifically should they do with that money?
I think arguably, you know, if they're going to be coming out with a lower-end iPhone so they can basically put paid to Samsung's comments about, well, geez, you know, we're going to own the you know, less than high-end smartphone market in developing countries. Well, guess what? Two can play at that game. And, oh, by the way, you know, Apple continues to hold trump cards, I would view, in terms of intellectual property as far as smartphones are concerned. So, you know, whatever it is that Samsung may do in terms of beating their chest, I think, you know, Apple has more than ready capabilities to come right back and be, you know, as aggressive a competitor as they have always been. And they're not really a competitor because they're a far better company in terms of going out and actually inventing new market segments. Samsung has always come out and been a very good follower.
Copier. Yeah.
Correct.
So Apple's still as innovative as it was under Steve Jobs?
You're talking some intangibles there, and you know, maybe it's a matter of sort of looking at what the linguistic differences are in statements that Tim Cook makes versus statements that Steve Jobs makes. But you know, when Tim Cook comes out and says that their pipeline is basically chock full, that doesn't necessarily have the same resonance of you know, people coming out listening to Steve Jobs and sort of saying, yes, I've got a new vision for how computing is going to look in the future. You know, Tim Cook, great guy, wonderful manager, wonderful executor, visionary. You know, how could you compare with Steve Jobs? So, you know, yes, we're still laboring under the fact that, you know, Steve's no longer there and people feel sorry about it. But guess what? Get over it. The stock is still very strong and, you know, they're not going away anytime soon. And people who like to think that they're done as an innovator, please.
Not even close.
I don't think so.
What do you expect to see from Apple in the next 12 months?
You know, people like to speculate on a lot of things. I think that there is something to be said.
And it is just speculation, right? We're just kicking around a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, and people can go over to China and, you know, if people believe what they're hearing out of China, I'd like to sell them a bridge in New York.
You have a problem with that?
But, you know, my issue is that, yeah, people go out and they get paid to crawl through the supply chain and try to figure out, you know, who's getting orders for what product coming
right.
out. And yeah, there have been rumors out there of the Apple TVs coming out. I think people say, yes, it's TVs themselves are a really bad market. However, no one really seems to have done a very good job of making an internet-enabled TV. So if you want to think of the television...
I know my husband would buy it in a heartbeat.
I think the television basically is going to end up being like, you know, a 60-inch diagonal screen Mac is what it is. It's going to hang on the wall.
I can see it up on my wall.
It's going to hang on the wall in your living room. And guess what? You know, if Mac sales go away and you have, you know, 60-inch Mac sales instead in the TV category, and then you have also tablet PCs and you have smartphones and you have, you know, everything else that they've got in terms of laptops, I think that this will be a new category and people will suddenly scratch their heads and sort of say, geez, if advertisers who are frustrated with cable television and broadcast television because they can't get their marketing message out, if they could target more specifically on a one-person basis, I mean, Apple could own a market.
And if someone's going to do it, it'll be Apple based on their history.
Yes.
David Garrity, thank you.
Thank you. Happy
really
weekend.
Appreciate it. David Garrity of GVA Research.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.